Welcome to the Talk Over podcast, a conversational platform for the DJs by the DJs, brought to you by Double and Stylus.
Swag.
Tune in every week to hear us talk about all the things we see, hear and experience as DJs. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel by simply searching Talk Over podcast on either Spotify or Apple Music.
DJ Stylus, DJ Duble.
DJ Duble. You know, one thing that really bugs me, bruv, is there's still people now. I feel like I've done a good job to establish myself in this industry. There's still people now that will send me an email and there's like 4 inches of space between the B and the L on the screen.
Like it's not one word.
It's not dub L. I'm aware it's a shit name, right? Just allow me. I've had it for years. But it's not dub L. Come on now. How many times in my career have I said double? And they're still writing it like...
Yeah, it's true. It's the way it's spelled. It's because you put the D-U-B and then it's a capital L.
No, it's all capitals. The whole thing's capitals. Or on my logo, it's all lowercase. I'm nicely inconsistent like that.
It's because you tried to be clever with the word double, obviously, innit? And some people are just a bit dumb out here, bro. That's the only explanation.
There was no reason for it, though. There's no actual reason why I'm called double. Did you know that? There's no backstory. I was driving one day and I just thought, oh, double. And that was it. That is the deepness of my DJ name.
It's literally got nothing to it.
I remember exactly where I was. I was in the high street of the town that I grew up in, driving past the fire station in my little red Corsa, which was my first car. And I just thought, oh, double. But with an L instead of spelling it normally.
Gaddis had a magic moment and ran with it, you know.
And that was it. From then, I fucked up my whole entire brand.
Oh my days! So how old was you when you decided to run with the double?
Well, I was driving. I was driving, and it was my first car, so I must have been probably 18. To be fair,
mad. Okay,
17, 18. No, I think 18. Right,
so you was old enough to not make them stupid decisions, man. What happened?
Yeah.
I came up with Stylus when I was like 13, bro. There's no going back now.
Bruv, you should see my email address. Anyone listening that knows what my email address will know how shit my email address is. It's terrible, but it's
what,
an email
scratched one.
Yeah, but it's an email address. I wrote that when I made it up when I was like 15, bruv. But it accidentally ran away with me, and now that's where everyone gets me. So
yeah, because every time I try and find you to email, I always type in like double or whatever, and nothing comes up because your email has nothing to do with you.
I know, nothing at all, bruv. But that's my main email as well.
And he fucked up his email, the clerk.
But even when I'm on like other calls, like for example, just randomly, I had to do a call last week to do my house insurance and stuff, and they asked for my email address so they could send the documents over.
Oh my god,
bruv, it's quite embarrassing now, you know, to actually be like, oh yeah, my email address is da 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 da.
I bet it is. Do you not have set up a personal email, bro?
I can't be fucked. I can't be asked, bro.
I have one with like my government name that I use for important stuff. So it's just like my full name at whatever.co.uk. Then I have obviously my DJ stuff separately.
I can't be bothered if I'm honest.
Nah, bro, it takes 2 seconds to go on fucking Gmail, man. What are you
playing? Yeah, I can't be bothered.
Saves the embarrassment of talking to the bloody HMRC or someone like it. Yes, it's blah blah recordings. I'm not even going to say your bloody email out loud. I won't do that to you, bro.
But yeah, it's crap. Oh, listen, before we get into today's topic, yeah, can I just say, oi, have you ever DJed at a silent disco?
No.
Bruv.
I've seen your Instagram, though.
I did one last week.
This guy had me reloading the video, man.
Yes, I did one last week, bruv, and it was so sick. It was unreal. Now, I did one like, I remember, I've done two now in my lifetime, and I remember... the first one I didn't really enjoy that much. And there was a point even in the middle of the night. So like for anyone that doesn't know, silent disco is there's no music playing out the speakers in the club. Everyone gets given a pair of headphones and the headphones has different channels. So they're wireless headphones. They've got different channels and you can flick to the different channels to hear different DJs. So there would be like...
So not everyone's listening to you DJ.
No, exactly. So like, and the first one I ever did, there was only two of us playing, but the one I did last week, there was three DJs playing. So anyway, the very first one I did 10 years ago, I didn't enjoy it that much. And one of the reasons why is because like through... halfway through my set, I thought, right, let me see who's on this. And I remember like getting on the mic and going, Ollie, Ollie, Ollie. And like, one guy at the back just went, oi, 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 and everyone else was...
The guy only had one listener.
Everyone else was vibing to the other DJ, so I was like, ah, oh, this is shit. But
the one
I did last Tuesday, shout out to Tom Rocks for organising it, man. It was such a sick party. The one I did last Tuesday, the headphones all had different coloured lights on them, depending on what channel you're listening to. So if you're listening to me, you had the green ones. The DJ next to me, a guy called Lorenzo, he had the yellow light. And then there was another DJ. I don't know what his name is. Sorry. But he was in.
Oh, God.
He was actually in another room. So I didn't really even meet him. And his channel was blue. So me and Lorenzo, we stood next to each other on two different setups, basically DJing silently. So there's no music coming out the speakers. And just like, I think there's probably like 800 people in the room or something. And you can just see like the different colours and like who's raving to what. And I'm getting on the mic and getting them to diss the other colours and shout like, fuck the yellows. And everyone's shouting, fuck the blues. Everyone's shouting, fuck the blues. And, bro, it was so much fun. But even to a
point,
you
do some different kind of parties down there, bro. We do not get stuff like that up here, brother.
Well, it's a student party. The Tuesday night's a student party. So that for me is my only open format set of the week. So, okay, like, I'll play... There was even a part I thought, you know what? I'm going to throw a little curveball here. And I played Wonderwall. Middle of main set, bruv. In the middle of all the big bangers, I just dropped Wonderwall in there.
Mad.
But it's because, like, I clocked it quite early. The key to that and the key to getting the vibe was playing all the big sing-along anthems.
Because
then you
create
can hear...
some noise.
They're all singing along, bruv. And you just got them proper singing their hearts out. So... like,
what was the song on the Instagram, bro? Because I played it back like three times. Yeah, you was like, can you guess what song this is? And you could just hear.
It was All I Do Is Win, DJ Khaled.
Oh my, bro, how was I supposed to pick that up from that?
Bro, it's well obvious.
Nah, it was not, G.
Yeah,
at
it
all.
Definitely was. They were singing it.
I reloaded the. I couldn't hear the singing. It just sounded like mumbling, bro.
You probably watched the snap before.
You was like, can anyone guess what song this is? I was like, yo, let me
no,
try
I know,
this.
I know what you did.
Let
you
me try watched, and figure this out.
You watched the snap before that caption, didn't you? Because I did the caption, and then it was the song after the caption. The one before that was The Baby, Bop.
Okay.
I need me some shit with some bop in it. That's a tune. anyway, yeah, so the moral of that story is silent discos are sick, bro. It was so much fun. But I'm not going to lie, Lorenzo put his boot on my neck a little bit because there was a couple of times where he must have played something, like a banger, and the crowd, you could see, like, if there's a group of friends and some of them are listening to yellow and some are listening to green, they'll, like, suddenly point at their headphones and then tell their friends, oh, this is a tune. And then you see...
my mum will flick over.
Bruv, you see all the colours start to change.
That's cold.
And yeah, I'm not going to lie, bruv. Like, I felt like for a good portion of the night, I was dominating it. But there was a couple of times where suddenly, like, all the greens started to disappear and, like, the vibe switched instantly, bruv. And then suddenly people are really turning up. And, like,
yo, that's getting... actually sick, you know. I've heard of silent discos, but I've not heard this whole light concept where you can gauge it from the booth. Like, that's fire.
It was good, bruv. It was really good. But yeah,
I feel
like
slightly parred. I'd feel parred though, man, when everyone's switching over the lights and that. I just feel like a dead DJ.
Oh, bruv. No, honestly, and that's exactly what I'm saying. Like, he properly had his foot on my neck for a couple of instances because I'm playing and then suddenly everyone's switching over. But I'm like, hold on, I'm doing a good set here. Like, why are you lot switching? But it's because at that exact time, he's playing a bigger tune than me. Do you know what I mean? And so people were like, you have to listen. Look, this is come on. Da, da, da. And you suddenly start seeing like, pew, 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 pew. All the lights start disappearing from your colour and his colour start dominating the room. Like, it was mad, bro. And I'll tell you the other thing. I feel like it made me definitely notice I play a lot of like fillers in my normal club sets. You know what I mean? Like tunes that aren't like super massive bangers, but if I'm playing a 4 or 5 hour club set, you know, you have to stretch it out a bit. So I'm playing tunes in between, like not massive hype tunes, but just tunes that maybe like I want to hear or haven't heard for a while that most people might not even know, and just chucking them in. Bruv, you can't really do that in these silent discos. Because if you play
keep
a song,
the energy up, bro, man. Yeah. Just light. What's that program on Channel 3 with?
I think it's called
Paddy. Paddy, what's his name? With the lights out.
Take me out,
you know, it's going to go, doom,
bruv, that's exactly what it felt like. Exactly what it felt like. But
mad.
It was proper cool. And like, yeah, I definitely did a wicked set that night. And I mean, looking from the reaction, Lorenzo did a good set as well. I think he played a lot of big tunes quite early, though. I think that was a mistake that he might have made. Because I noticed
my man shot his load.
Well, yeah, not necessarily, but I do feel like, yeah, he definitely pressed it quickly quite early on, whereas I kind of built up a bit more, I warmed up a bit more. But yeah, as soon as there was enough people in there for it to be a vibe, it was like, okay, cool, right, full speed ahead, and we're going in. So, but the difference for me is that I obviously do an open format set, and his job that night was to do like hip-hop, drill, grime, trap, that kind of stuff. So
okay,
obviously I had free reign, so I feel like I had an easier job that night because it was like I could literally play anything. So I'm playing anything from Wonderwall to Sicko Mode, bro. Do you know what I mean? Like everything in between. So
I'm jealous, man. It sounds like you had a sick weekend, bro. My one of my sets this weekend was a bit weird, bro.
Mine wasn't even the weekend. That was last
week.
Shit.
Yours was on a Tuesday.
But tell me about your set. What happened?
No, bro, I only do one shoot at night, right? But the crowd is quite tame compared to yours.
Yeah.
On Saturday, I got booked to do a proper student thing, but it was on a weekend.
Right, okay.
And I'm just not used to the young crowd, like the super young crowd anymore.
I've walked it,
so my set, I'm booked to do a 90-minute set, which I've not done like an hour 90-minute set probably since the summer, just been doing my residency stuff. Anyway, got there like 1 o'clock. Soon as I get outside, the club's rammed. There's a big queue. People are on the floor, rolling round, dribbling on each other. I'm not ready. Normally, I'll go to the club quite early and like blend in and mingle, and then go and do my set. This one, I had other stuff to do, so I've just gone straight there. It's like 10 minutes before my set. No time to settle, bro. Listen, I walked in that club. I felt so old, fam. I felt old real quick.
Yeah.
Literally, it was just a cesspit, brother. It just caught me off guard. Like, I enjoyed the set and the set was dope. But like in regards to the crowd and that, I was just thinking, "Stay, I'm actually cracking on a bit, you know."
Oh man.
I left there feeling a bit depressed, G. It was all 18-year-olds wiling out differently, like just absolutely messy, mate. You know them super messy ones.
Yeah.
But yeah, shout out Kurt anyway, because he's a good guy, man. Like, he's been doing events around Manny. I've been working with him for years.
Okay.
But we had a little break where I've not done sets for him because I kind of stepped away on a few projects. And then he hit me up. He's like, "Oh, do you want to come in and do like a little hour set tonight?" I was like, "Yeah, man, let's go." Got there. I was like, "Blood." It was a myth. But yeah, the younger crowd, man, you got to keep them on their toes. I just don't know whether I felt like they don't fully appreciate the DJ no more. These young crowds, because they just want to hear. But like, I was trying to flex and be a bit flicky with it and that, and it was just going over their heads, fam.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna play bangers, say a couple of things, drop the bangers, and that's the way it went. And yeah. It was a vibe in the end.
100%, bro. Like, I play a couple of under-18s nights, and I've noticed that when it comes to... obviously, in my normal club sets, I make sure that I still do flex, and I still have, like, I always make sure I've got some, like, transition tricks that I do. Do you know what I mean? Some wordplay tricks and just, like, proper... Mm-hmm. I just put as much techers in as I can in an ordinary club set. But doing the under-18s events... I feel like they don't understand really what it's about. They don't understand what's going on. And
yeah, they don't.
I persevere, bruv. I still do it, but it's very clear that they're kind of just like, they're not really appreciating what's going on, and they're just almost waiting for the song to drop. Do you know what I mean?
I got some evils, bro. I was doing a little flex, like you say, little transitions and that, and I remember 2 feet girls being next to the booth looking at me like, "What's he doing?"
Really?
I swear, bro. Oh. And I thought, nah. Obviously, you try to persist in it because you want to do your thing and like have your flair on it. And I was like, nah, I'm going to lose these lot in a minute.
Yeah, it's tricky. It is proper tricky, isn't it? You have got to...
You just got to get the balance.
Like, you definitely got to balance it correctly. and yeah, make sure that fucking make sure you've got the right amount of like drip and sauce on the set, but without getting them bored, bro. Do you know what I mean?
Because exactly, like, if you don't add your own flex into it, you're just gonna fall into the trap of sounding like any other DJ, innit? That's just pressing buttons. You gotta do your, you still gotta do your thing, even on, when you're under pressure like that. You get me?
Yeah. So, that's part. Yeah. That's part of the problem that we have these days as well. Is like, I think we've spoken about it numerous times, and it's the fact that the art of DJing, for want of a better phrase, like, does seem to be dying out, and there's no like. I don't really know any young DJs that are out there like that, like really trying to put their own style on it. It's just about who's got the bangers. Yeah. It's weird.
Glorified jukebox era, mate.
Yeah, but I mean, I see people talking about it all the time as well. Other DJs talking about like the young DJs don't seem to get it. They don't understand what makes a good DJ talent-wise. Like,
yeah, I hear that. Yeah, the DJ before me was going ham. Yeah, I got there, and I don't think it was a coincidence that I don't know the DJ in it, so I can say it. There's no coincidence. Like 10 minutes before I got on, my man started running through all the hits, bro.
But I just
laughed and smiled to myself and thinking, do you know what? All good. When I get on, I'll show you how it's done in it. Like, play these bangers.
Yeah, it's the worst thing, man. Like, it happens to me occasionally.
I think he thought he was flexing though, and like thinking, I'll show this guy that I can do my thing kind of thing, instead of just setting up the alley-oop, innit? Like, you know what it's like when you warm up? Like, play the warm-up role and then set up the fucking dunk for the main guy, innit? Like, and you can flex without rinsing all the big bangers, but like, yeah. You say, it's that era now where man just play the hits, innit? And the actual flair of building and vibe and setting up a warm-up in the right way. I think that, I don't know whether the new gen have grasped it yet or not. I'm not saying all of them, but this is just off what I experienced on Saturday.
Do you think it is a case of like they're younger DJs and they kind of, because I mean, we both know it's a fact and we both had it in our messages, like there are younger DJs and there's a lot of younger DJs that actually look up to us as,
yeah, man,
as role models, the same way that we looked up to the older generation of DJs. Like, do you think it's a case that they're like, oh, right, Stylus is here. Like, I need to show him that I'm sick because then he might be able to help put me on, et cetera, et cetera. Do you think that's the case?
That's what I felt on Saturday in this specific moment. That's what I felt, because when I walked in and I was at the back of the room, my man's not seeing me. He's just nice in it.
Yeah.
And then I got in the booth and started setting up, and out of nowhere, my man whips out the mic, starts screaming down the mic, starts dropping all the hits, starts dropping Toast and all them. I'm like, madness.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's definitely part of it, but it's not their fault, innit? Someone needs to sit down and tell these men, like.
Well, that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing right now.
That's why we're here, my G.
Yeah.
Get me? So if you're listening, I can't remember your name, Cozzy, but if you're listening,
I mean. Stop clarting all the big tunes before midnight, you little bitch.
Don't get me wrong, yeah. Flipping. I'm not fully bothered. Like, I've got deep crates, I can work around it, but it's just not the way to go, mate. Like, there's a whole night ahead, bruv. Like,
you know,
don't bun it out. I had to rebuild the energy. I reset it, me. I hit the reset button. I was like, let me get on the mic, say one or two words, play my intro, because I have like a little minute intro swaggy thing, and then like, I didn't rebuild it from scratch like I was doing a warm-up, but I just didn't go straight from the top, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought, let me just reset it a little bit and go back in again.
I like that. That's a tactic I use as well.
10 minutes before my end of my set, my man comes over, he's like, yeah, yeah, I'll jump back on. I was like, because I was thinking, I'm going to go ham now. I'm running through these rhythms, yeah? 10-15 minutes before the end of my set, the guy wants to come back on. I'm like, nah, bro, the set ain't done. Yeah. I think he was going into panic mode because I left him with like one record.
But you know what? This is another thing, bruv. Did he play any of the songs you'd already played?
But after, when he got on after?
When you were done, did he come on and play songs you had already played?
I only stayed for like 10 minutes after that. I got off. So the first couple songs that he played afterwards, nah. But then, right. Yeah, I don't know what got played after that, to be fair.
Because one thing I've noticed is like, that. With the younger generation, they feel no type of way about just repeating a record.
Oh, like, bro, fuck it. Do you know what I mean? Like, hate. It's a pet hate.
Yeah, something. I, I just don't do it, bruv. Unless, you know what, the only time I'll repeat a record is if, like, if it's an absolute banger that I really love, then I'll play it early and I'll probably play it again later.
Okay, yeah, tell me that. If in that case, if it's on a warm-up, and that, even then I've only done it a couple of times. I have this thing where I just can't repeat a song. Once it's been played, it goes to the back of the bank, like... So the next time I play out, like I've just have this thing where repeating songs is a big no-no for me personally.
Yeah. I do feel that way, but I'm just saying on occasion, like, because there might be people listening to this now that are like, well, I've definitely heard you play a song twice. And if that's the case...
I'm going to call you out, cuz.
No, if that's the case, then it's because I absolutely love that record and I'm playing it twice because I want to hear it twice. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Simple as that. Like, I'm playing it twice because I'm in charge of the music here and I want to play it twice. But I had an example on Saturday. Someone came up, asked for The Box, you know, Roddy Ricch.
Banger.
I'd already played it, bruv. Already done, mate. You're coming up at, like, three, I think it was like 3:30 in the morning or something. I'm just about to start the slow jams bit. And you're play coming up at 3:30. Can you play The Box? Like, bruv, I've done that bit already. Like, The Box has been played.
Yeah, that's it. Like, I have these segments, man. Like, so if I leave a BPM and then man will come up and ask for a song back in that BPM, like, bruv, I can't just go back down there.
Yeah, people you can't
explain. You can't explain that. You can't explain that, innit? Like, I've just done that bit.
That's down to a DJ, but that's also down to DJ style, because not every DJ would be like, oh, that's a 70 BPM, but I'm playing 104 now, so I can't. Because, like, Scandalous, for example, I don't know if you know DJ Scandalous, bad boy DJ, but he is really good at keeping a vibe up, but like jumping around the BPMs, bruv. He could play a 55 BPM track followed by a 92 BPM track followed by 72 BPM followed by 86, all back to back. Like this.
He's not
mixing
them though, is he?
No. He drops, like he does, like the New York drop. You know, like DJs used to in New York, like boom, like just scratch straight from the big part of the tune. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. I get that.
He does it very well. I enjoy listening to Scandalous's sets because they're so. They're completely different to how I structure mine.
You can do that, to be fair, with certain tunes, like, because they have peaks and troughs and little bits and like drops within records where it allows you to be able to get away with stuff like that. Or like if there's like a little break in a record where it's like an a cappella break before the beat drops back in, like you can echo it out and like drop a next record. Like there is certain tactical ways you can maneuver, but like that's a different art in itself, man. Like you say, not many people move like that.
No,
it's just a pet hate, man. If I'm at 100 BPM and I run through it and then I transition down to 70 and then a man come back and ask for a record back up there and I'm just like, I can't explain this.
I think that's just down to individual styles. No, that's the thing. I can't. I'll play it in a bit, basically, because, yeah, I'm very much the same. Like, there has to be some sort of flow to my sets. Like, if I'm swapping BPMs like that, then whatever I'm swapping it to has to have some kind of intro. I can't just play like just from the beat. Do you know what I mean? Or it has to be like the same artist or... Do you know what I mean? It's difficult to explain, but it's very... Everything I do is very calculated and very structured.
There's
never just a random switch in vibe. Unless, I mean, I think probably I can count twice in my career where I thought, shit, this ain't working. I really need to change direction now. And just literally, like, it's probably happened twice in 12 years, bruv. Do you know what I mean? Like, where I'm like, fuck, this ain't working, change direction, and then suddenly just have to boom, just completely change. But
I think you can get away with it in like them. My Wednesday's a big room open format thing, big Deltic venue. Yeah. In there, you can get away with stuff like that because the crowd don't give a fuck, As long as it's a banger, the transition changes, the tempo changes. Like, in there, you can get away with that. But if I was to go and do that in my Friday residency in Ink, I'd probably get bananas thrown at me or flipping oranges or something. Like, literally, they would pelt me, bro. So, certain times, different elements in that, man. But, yeah, anyway. Anyway, I had a good weekend, mate, besides that.
Good times. I like the weekends, man. I'm lucky because both my residencies, I think I've said this a billion times on it now, but both my weekend residencies are really sick. Like, really, really good, especially my Friday night, bruv. Like, a wicked crowd. And like, it's one of those, it's like the Holy Grail residency. Do you know what I mean? Those type of residencies that DJs seek out to be like, right, this is the type of thing. I've
seen you posting the videos, innit? You've been posting all the videos recently. You've been going ham on the gram, mate.
Oh, mate, yeah, you know what? Like, it's just...
But it looks lit.
Yeah. You know what that is? Someone actually said to me, they looked on my Instagram and they didn't realise I was a club DJ. They thought I was just a presenter and just did interviews.
Yeah, you definitely need to post more content like that, bro. That's probably why.
I was like, rah, like, really? You just thought, like, I do more clubs than I do interviews. And they were like, yeah, I had no idea.
No, you know what they say, innit? Like, all your content is, like, a lot of it is interview-based, innit? So I always watch Gary Vee, man. He'd be like, post more shit of what you dope at. Like, I'm in the same boat as you. Not much DJ stuff touches the timeline. Like, I do the mixes, and then once every 9 months, I'll do, like, a DJ video.
Yeah.
And then I'll disappear again. But I've made a decision this year to really start pushing out more DJ content like that because, yeah. Like you said, man of not even thinking you're doing clubs, bro. Like, that's peak because you're Shellers.
That's what I thought. That's mad. That's where I make like majority of my living. Do you know what I mean? And like, that's where if someone said right, you can only do one more one thing to do with DJing for the rest of your life, what would it be? Like, it'd be okay, cool. I'm probably picking clubs. Yeah,
mad.
Like, be a tough decision, but yeah, that's where I'm busiest, bruv, in the club. So if someone didn't know that I was a club DJ, I'm like, right, I'm not doing something right. So that's why you've seen more club-based content from me recently.
More content, my guy. I've seen you've been going, how man's been pasting all the logos in.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know what? My friend Famous Tom showed me about this, and he was like, he's helping me like restructure things a little bit. He's showing me a couple of little tips and stuff. And he's like, he's helping me out a lot. Actually, that's Tom Rocks. I mentioned him earlier. That's the third mention he's got in this club. But yeah, Tom Rocks, man.
You're always bigging up, man. You're like the serial name dropper, fam.
You know what? I feel like it's credit.
I rate credit where credit's due, innit?
Because like,
yeah, 100%.
I think a lot of the time, we're going well off track, you know. So let's just bin off the topic we were going to talk about today, because there's no point. That's going to be a lengthy podcast.
Do you know what? I was just looking through the Twitter then, and I don't even know where this has ended up. I'm 30 minutes in.
So to be fair, the one we were going to talk about
that needs a bit more. We need to plan that properly. Anyway, we've got two big ones coming up, innit?
Yeah, and it was meant to be today, but this intro is now.
I was just about to say this is the intro. This is why the talk over rocks, mate.
A 28-minute intro, fuck me.
Bloody hell.
Where was I? Yeah, I just feel like this sounds like such a hippie thing to say, but there needs to be a lot more love in the DJ community. Like, if someone's done something cool, just big them up, innit? And if someone's helped you, like, big them up. Like,
I agree.
Just show love, innit? So, yeah, Famous Tom, a.k.a. Tom Rocks. He's called Famous Tom.
I think a lot
of
people are scared to big up, bro,
everyone,
you know,
in Brighton. Yeah, you know what it is?
People are scared to be seen bigging man up because they don't want to take a... This is what I think. I feel like they don't want to take any shine off what they're doing by bigging other man up, when in reality, like, you've got, like, lifting other people up lifts yourself up as well. Like, it's weird. People's mentalities can be a bit mixed. Like,
it's an insecurity thing, bruv. It's because the nature of our job as club DJs is so, like, wishy-washy. And the problem is, there is a lot of snakes out there, and there is a lot of shiesty people that will, like, instantly, they'll sell their mum just to blooming get a residency somewhere else.
Sell their mum for a set, you know.
Yeah, all this stuff, bro. They do some horrible things. But similarly, there's a lot of really cool, clean-hearted DJs out there as well. So it's like, what we need to do some more is just recognize other people's achievements, recognize when other people are helping you out, and like, when it's the right circumstance, just big them up, innit? Just shout them out. Or because I think the people that don't do that and the people that aren't willing to help other DJs, first of all, are cutting themselves off. They're isolating themselves in an industry where we actually need to be unified.
Yeah.
And what they're doing is like, they're afraid that, excuse me, if I big you up, like, it doesn't suddenly mean that all of my contacts are going to stop giving me work and start giving you work. But that's what they're afraid of. I feel like they're afraid of putting someone in a position where they could be overtaken. And that, if you feel that way, if you feel like you can't big someone up because they might suddenly overtake you in this industry, then you are not working hard enough. Simple as that. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think, bro, that they do this because there is so many DJs now and there's so much out there, it's just, man are just like crabs in a barrel scrapping it out. So it's kind of like, yeah, I'm going to hold all this energy. I'm not going to be bigging up other man and all that and just kind of focus on my own, essentially.
Yeah, but I think the crabs in the barrel are the ones with that mentality, bruv, because there's a lot, and they're the ones, they're stuck in the barrel, bruv. But look, there's a bunch of crabs in the sea. I can't really refer to them all as crabs because it seems quite hateful, but do you know what I mean? Like, there's a whole group of DJs, and I'm not even thinking of specific names, but they're the ones who are just stuck in comfortable ways. They're afraid to leave the comfort zone, and similarly, they're afraid to lose their work because someone better, someone more hardworking might take it. So they just keep a little protective bubble around what they've got, and they don't let anyone in, and they don't let themselves out, and it's just very restrictive. But then there's examples of people who are doing the most, bruv, doing amazing moves, who are very clearly not insecure about their position. And let's look at Charlie Sloth, for example, bruv. He brought Jonesy. Yep. He's brought Jonesy through. Jonesy's doing the Beats One feature now. And Charlie's helped Jonesy get to different clubs and stuff. And he's helping him grow his brand. He's brought Prospect through. Do you know what I mean? Like, he's bringing Prospect. He's brought Prospect in on his label and helping Prospect grow his brand. CJ Beats, who we've mentioned countless times on here. Like, when he was on One Extra, bruv, I think he was the first DJ to be like, right, let's bring some DJs through and do some guest mixes.
Like, yeah, it was.
And that opened up the doors for a lot of DJs in a very competitive world. But the way I see it is CJ knew he was sick because he's a sick DJ, and he wasn't insecure about that. He wasn't thinking, oh, shit, if I give Double a guest mix and he smacks
it. Man's gonna come and take my spot.
Is he gonna take the show away? The same way, like, Charlie's very secure in his position. Like, Martin Two Smooth's another one who always gets a mention. Do you know what I mean? There's a pattern.
Three names you just mentioned all played a part in my career anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, Charlie and CJ fully put me on when Charlie didn't even know me back then, and give me a flipping 3-year mix residency on his show.
These are all DJs that I see constantly bigging up other DJs and shining the light on other DJs because they're all very secure in where they are in their careers, brother. Like, I think it's the insecure ones that are afraid to show love to everyone else. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's such a weird mentality, but I think if you just realise, I'm really sorry because if you're listening, I can't remember who it was tweeted, and I haven't got my Twitter in front of me. Someone tweeted the other day.
I know what you're about to say. I found the tweet. Are you talking about the tweet run that we got tagged into?
Yeah. So they said about there should be a DJ union, like some kind of
DJ CUDA.
Yeah, DJ CUDA. Thank you. Big up DJ CUDA. He said like there should be a DJ union, like some kind of like an overseeing force to go to, like a collection of DJs to go to that can kind of almost like the, I guess he kind of means like the lawmakers as such, you know what I mean? Like the people to go to if you've got a problem, or the people to go to for advice and this and that. And there was a lot of good names in that list. I'm not going to lie. That was a very
I found it, bro. I've got it on the screen in front of me. Shall I read it out?
Yeah, go on, please. So we can have a bit of context.
So yeah, it was at DJ CUDA Epoch. Is there like a UK Urban DJ Association?
There you go.
If not, how can we make this happen? The purpose of it would be to educate the young and upcoming DJs, communicate, i.e. DJs talking to each other and realising how much power they have and having their say on certain issues, collaborations of DJs working together. And then he goes on to say, I realise it's a very hard thing to do, but why not? And then tagged in a list of names, so I'll read out the names he's tagged. He's put in Larizzle, Dr. Cosmic, Semtex, DJ Nate, Neptizzle's in there, Chucky Online, Nadia J, Jukes, P Montana, me and you were in there.
Yeah.
Big up. DJ Tiny, Mix and Mo, DJ Skrills. There was like 15 names in there. But yeah, that opened the right kind of worms on the timeline. But Do you know what, bro? Some of the replies in that instantly man batted that down, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean...
One or two man instantly shot that in the foot and were like, nah.
I'm not gonna lie, bruv, I was one of them.
Oh, like, for real?
Yeah, I was one that was like, it's a great idea, but it wouldn't work. And the problem is because there are these people that are insecure about their positions, and because there are people that will always undercut. Do you know what I mean? The ones that don't work as hard as we do, or the ones that aren't as talented as us, will always be the ones to be like, oh, okay, well, I can't get that job, so I'll just do it for £50. And then there's always going to be clubs that will choose the cheaper DJ over the better DJ, isn't it? Always.
Yep.
It's the nature of the beast. So, like, that's a good idea, but unfortunately, that kind of idea, where it's like an association that's kind of given the power as such, wouldn't work. But my point is, like, the idea behind it, the idea of unity would work. I feel like we should...
The actual idea is dope, but in, like, a dream scenario... But like you say, the reality is that it wouldn't stick, in it.
No, unfortunately not. Like, I'm not. I can't see. Unless someone might see a way that it works, and someone might.
You're the first reply, bro. You're the first reply. Shall I read out what you replied with?
yeah, go on. I said. Well, I mentioned. I threw back to the DJ license episode.
Right, that episode was time ago now as well. So we was talking about this, bro. I've been tagged in debates recently, and I'm like, yo, we talked about this a year ago.
Yeah, covered.
We're
this
on the curve, my G.
Go and check out the plot.
Double, yeah, it's a nice idea, but wouldn't work, which you just said then. There should be a DJ license, not based on talent, because that's subjective, but to replace PRS license for clubs. Venues would have to have licensed DJs by law, and that way the DJs would be able to reclaim the way the pay structure works. Any younger DJs that wanted the club sets would be able to do so if they played under a current DJ license, as long as that DJ was in the club. That way it helps experienced DJs mentor the youngers in every aspect. Big fans of clubs that use unlicensed DJs equals problem solved.
And then Semtex came in the comments and was like, nah, no licenses. Yeah. That's like Illuminati shit.
Yeah, Semtex locked it off instantly. You know, even Duke said Eastport cannot lie. If it was like that, then I'd be ruined, because I was rocking up to clubs at 16. And yeah. I was the same, bro. My first club set, I wasn't even 18, Dredd. So yeah. I would have been finished in this day and age, but then again, it wasn't like that back then, so we can't even look at it like that, and the way the DJ scene has evolved and grown.
Has it grown?
I reckon just the amount of people and the technology and the way people can get into the art now has grown. Do you know what I mean? It's just so easily accessible now. Like
the
back then, if you weren't really about it back then, you wouldn't get through.
That's the thing. Back then, you used to have the skill. I think this is another thing we mentioned last week. Like, when I was coming up in Brighton, I would never have been accepted in the clique of DJs in Brighton if I wasn't good. Mm-hmm. Like, and this is another thing, like, throwing back to what we mentioned at the start, I was considered good because as a fresh-faced 18-year-old guy, using vinyl, coming in and doing what I could do on the decks, but with warm-up tunes, all the DJs loved it when I warmed up for them because I didn't touch a single banger. But still, by the time they started their set, I would do 10 till half 11, say, or 10 till 12. And by the time they come on to start their set, bruv, the club is primed, everyone's having a sick time, and they have every single big tune to play because I haven't played one. Do you know what I mean? That was something that got me my reputation in Brighton, and that was something that made me like
it's like you said, bro, back then the warm-up was like, because I don't know, man, people are taking shortcuts now, innit, and just downloading bangers and jumping in, whereas back then you learnt how to warm up from the off.
Yeah,
like I don't know, I can't put my finger on it. I feel like there was just a different, completely different approach.
I don't know why or how I knew not to play the big tunes. I don't remember anyone ever saying to me, like, don't play the bangers at 10 o'clock. Like, I don't remember anyone saying that. I just remember it just being a thing. Like, you just don't play the bangers at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, like, because you kind of knew, like, yo, man, even just using your nouse, fam, I've got a long night here. Like, this night is running till 3. Like, you just kind of knew. I don't know. I just kind of knew, like, I'm not going to bun this night up. Like, yeah. I'm going to warm it up, right? Like, even from my first early sets, bro, like, I had that mindset.
Yeah.
So, like, I'll challenge myself to go as long as I can without touching the hits. And then before I know it, I blink, it's like quarter to two, and the club's still popping. And then I'm like, yo, I can absolutely blitz these fuckers now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it ends up being the sickest night ever. Like, sometimes I'll go that far in, I don't even realise, and then before I know it, I've got an hour and a half left, and the club's closing. Yeah, and then I just get to shell the life out of them, and the doorman are like, Stiders, calm down, man, what are you doing?
Oh, I hate that.
Them ones. I hate it, bro.
I hate it when
security... Go and do your job, man.
So when security comes over and they're like, oh, can you calm it down a bit? No, calm yourself down, bro. Go and do your job.
Go and do your job, innit?
I, you know what I think it is? Especially in ours, like... I think now this might get a bit touchy now, but I think because it's like...
Drop it, mate. Come on.
I'm just thinking there's only one place I play that doesn't care. The bouncers are proper cool. Like, no, all the... Let me... Hang on. I'm tripping over myself now. All the bouncers that I work with and know, there's not a single bouncer I don't like. Let me just put that out there. But there are certain clubs I play where I feel like the bouncers aren't familiar enough with black crowds or urban music crowds. And so when they see 100. Them, when they see them getting a bit mosh pity, they get nervous because they're going to fight. And they don't understand. But bouncers, I've seen it with black bouncers as well that aren't really in touch with the urban music culture. And even I've even played it was a smaller festival, but it was a festival stage in Brighton. And there started to be a mosh pit at the front. Given it's a festival stage, so there's a big metal gate in front of the stage. There's no way the crowd can come past it. There's no way the gate is falling over. It's one of them big festival barriers. Do you know what I mean? And a mosh pit started, bruv, and three of the bouncers started having kittens and telling people to calm down. Stop mosh pitting. Stop, like... And it's like, I think you don't get it. So, like, that's part of the problem there.
Do you think that's part of it? That they're not plugged into the culture?
I think they don't understand,
music.
So
they just think, rah, shit's about to be a riot. Because I played that flipping... What's that bashment record? Like,
oh, Gas. Ding dong, Gas.
You know when they jump... The gas, that's it. Fam. Man played that the other week, yeah? And half the dance floor starts running left to right.
Bro, I love looking at bouncers. I love
the doorman, The doorman just started running around, fam. Like, I could see Steve coming off the heads. And I was just thinking, Jesus, like, they just don't get it, innit? Like, it's part of
that song. Like...
It's part of the vibe, man. It's part of the culture. Properly, it's the music, like... They're just having fun, yo. They're not going to start clotheslining people. I think
on some odd occasions, sometimes it might sometimes get a little bit scrappy if someone steps on someone's shit or drops someone's drink or if there's someone who's just not in the right vibe. But like, I would say 9.5 times out of 10, when everyone's super excited, like, I'm smart enough as a DJ to know not to overhype it. Do you know what I mean? There's a point where it's like, okay, cool. You know what? Let me just bring it down again.
Yeah.
Before it turns into a riot. But like, I think, I don't know, I think it's just maybe security, they're just not in touch with the culture. And I think in some cases, bruv, like, they're probably a little bit intimidated because they're very outnumbered by a crowd of people. And it's kind of like, well, if it might look to them, because they don't understand what's going on, it might look to them like, 50 or 60 people are about to have a fight in here. And if there's only 3 or 4 bouncers in the room, how are they going to contain that?
But you can see the smiling though, bruv. These men aren't looking angry when they're doing it. Like, they're smiling and having fun, yo. Like, it's not as if they're running around the room looking angry like they're going to start smashing people. Like, I don't know. Big up all the doormen anyway, innit?
I've had other times where literally a fight has kicked off in front of a doorman. And he stood there and did nothing. Nothing. Mad. And this is the same doorman who once also told me, calm the music down, please. It's getting a bit hype. And I was like, bruv, it's not getting hype. Like, just let me do my job.
Do you remember last week when we were talking about being told how to do your job?
Yeah, this falls into that bracket.
Like, we never mentioned doorman, but the doorman is the last person I'm listening to when it comes to playing music. Like, I know what I'm doing, fam. Yeah. Like... We had a bitch about management last week, but doorman, they should not be involved at all.
I mean,
without even sounding bitchy,
I get their point, but the problem is when they do it, they don't understand what's going on. What they don't want is fights. They don't want World War III to kick off in the club, and that's cool. I get it, but
Yeah, I
just
get that.
Understand, I know what I'm doing. And I know what to look out for as well, bruv. Like, there's more times I've pointed a fight out to a doorman before the fight's even started. Like, watch them guys over there because it's about to go off. And the doorman's watched and waited till it starts to go off and then got involved. Like,
yeah, so, yeah, I hear that.
If you're any security, any bouncers listening, I'm going to get my head kicked in next week.
Mate, there is no way in this world that any bouncers at any club I work are going to listen to this podcast, mate. They don't give a shit about
no, this
stuff.
This is very true.
this is the last place to come
they
in.
They can't
I'm
even spell talk
but
over.
Same for me. No, like, I get on with all my doormen. Like,
I said they can't even spell talk over. I was joking.
Oh my
it's banter.
Days.
Come on, bruv.
Oh, my right.
Day. No, you know what's good? All the bouncers I work with, they know that I box. So I think we've got that level. Like,
okay, I'm so they know if they start double, we'll
I'm
just box them in the
I'm
mouth.
I'm protected by my energies.
I'm the complete opposite, mate. I'll be running like a bitch. I'm looking through some of the tweets off the back of that association tweet. And yeah, there's some... there were some mixed replies, man. Even Stormzy's DJ got involved. Big up Tiny, man. He was like, "Oh, you man are buying it. Like, just be on it. Hashtag unity."
Yeah, that's the key, man. Unity is the key. But
maybe not the idea, but the unity amongst the DJs is dope. Like, I've built my career on having a unity amongst DJs from all around the UK. Hence, how this podcast ended up coming about and why people are, all these DJs kind of fuck with it, because we both have this little core of unity amongst DJs up and down the country. Like, I think it's, no matter where I go in the country, yeah, I'll go out my way to link or network with some kind of DJ in that city. Like, even when I go abroad, any country, like I went to some random village in the south of France called Annecy, and we linked DJs with, like, me and Cuba went out and ended up playing in some club and getting around out there, like literally anywhere in the world. We ended up in the Swiss mountains with some DJs in some mansion having some scratch bloody sessions, and this dude's got a trainer collection the size of DJ Khaled's. Like,
mad.
Just random stuff, man. But like, just moving around and amongst other DJs is the key, man. I'm telling you now.
Yeah, it really is, bro. It really is. That's the thing, like. That's why, again, going back to the DJ City link up, which we've obviously been to on how many years in a row now, like, that's a wicked place to meet DJs. And I think the unity is, you know what, it's such an important thing.
At that event, it's strong, man. It's strong at that event, the unity, to be fair. Like, I think you semi-see the same faces at most of them.
One thing is, though, I kind of see it at that event, and then I don't really see it as strong throughout the whole rest of the year until that event again. Do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like it needs to be a consistent...
Yeah, that's true.
But the thing is, I don't have a solution, so I'm just pointing out a problem.
It depends how people do it, though. Like, I talk to a lot of DJs, but I might not shout about it all over the timeline, but you best believe my DMs are banging. Like, I don't post everything on the... I used to. I used to think I had to shout about everything, and I'm like, that's not... I just figured that wasn't the way for me anymore. Like, I do a lot of my stuff in the DM and behind the scenes, but I still fuck with and chat to hundreds of DJs, like, across the week, every week. So, yeah, man. Someone fully buried it and was just like, yo, too many egos. A DJ will watch your Serato crash and laugh.
But in some cases, this is true, bro. In some cases, it's true.
Legitimately true, bro. Imagine, man will be at the back of the club like, check my man dying right now and laughing, you know. That's the realness. That is the realness. Loads of DJs got involved in this conversation, you know.
I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, unfortunately, I think some people will get involved with the mentality of, if it benefits me, I'll do it. But they won't, if it doesn't benefit them personally, they wouldn't get involved. Like, I would love to do something. I'm up for getting involved in that. Like, even Semtex said in his, like, create a WhatsApp group, add me in, like, and cool, I'm all ears, let's talk. No one's created, or if they have created a WhatsApp group, I wasn't invited. But,
Yeah, I was going to say, I never got invited either, man.
But,
after all this.
I'm doing it for the DJ scene and the DJ industry in the UK, because...
Do you know what, bro? We should start a talk over DJ WhatsApp.
Well, yeah, but the problem is, to what end? This is the thing. Like, I see a lot of problems in the scene, and I see a lot of issues, but I don't have solutions. I don't know. So there's no point.
Well, it's like Semtex said, I don't think there's a solution there yet. He was just like, look, set up a group and see where we go. Like, even if it's building some unity amongst DJs, like, yeah, just to start to at least plant a couple of seeds. Do you know what I mean? Like, I bet there's not a WhatsApp out there with DJs all across the country in it. Besides, well, me and you were in one, yeah, actually, we've got, to be fair. One. But that was all off the back of Fresh Island. Yeah.
Fresh Island, what, 2017, I think it was.
So that, yeah, man, that was years ago, and there's DJs in that from all over. I need to speak in that group more, man. There's Bear Man in there that don't speak. Speak up.
Yeah, bro, there's a bunch of people in that. I think CJ Beats, again, another big up CJ. He's in that group. I don't think he's ever said a word in that WhatsApp group. Ever.
No, he hasn't. He hasn't said a word. Some people just ain't WhatsApp people, innit? Which, well, I understand. That's all good. Yo, there's someone outside my studio. What do you want? Go away, fam. I'm recording.
But, yeah, it's just, I don't know. I think, like, there is a lot of issues and a lot of problems. But as much as I've been screaming about unity is the key and everyone needs to get together, like, I don't know what the solution is. So other than just suddenly everyone's in a WhatsApp group together, it's like, oh, all right, now we're here. What do we talk about? No one, like, I don't know what the solution is to the problems that we have. Just talk over and about it, I guess. Just podclarting every week. Processing the problems.
Yeah, we'll keep fighting the fight for the cause that we don't know how to
exactly
solve.
We'll just keep mentioning all these problems in our podcast and absolutely zero solutions, and so you lot can figure it out. And then in 10 years' time,
I think it's that complex now, isn't it? It's that complex now. There's so many DJs. There's so much going on. Everyone has their own situations. There's egos involved. Like, it makes it very complicated to really figure out how to get.
I'll be brutally honest, bruv. I'll be brutally honest. There's too many DJs. There's too many DJs. There's DJs in the clubs that need to not be in the clubs yet. They need to go back to their bedroom and practice. And there's DJs in the clubs that need to realise, like, it's time to hang it up, bruv. Like,
yeah, there is. It's just oversaturated.
There's too many. There's too many.
It's like there's just so much. And there's old school DJs with different views. There's new school DJs that are on a completely different wave. Like, there's conflict of interest. There's people protecting their own stuff. There's people that don't mind bigging up and sharing love. There's people that want unity. There's people that don't give a shit and are just watching their own back. There's so much. There's so many little bits to think about. It kind of makes it a big, just a big mess.
I mean, the people that are out there just DJing and don't really give a shit about unity, they don't really care about anyone else, they're just doing themselves, that's cool with me. Like, that's fine. It's the ones that are out there that are actively, like, the type that would just watch your Serato crash and then just laugh. It's those types that are constantly, like, out there monitoring, just deliberately going out of their way or making sure, or at least, at the very least, just hoping that someone doesn't succeed just because they're not succeeding. That's the biggest part of the problem, bruv, is that element of the DJ faction. It's that there's people out there that are just bitter because they're not working hard enough. They don't have the talent, maybe. They don't have the minerals to do what you need to do to succeed. But they're just clinging on because they don't want to give up because they've got nothing else to do, basically. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's weird, man. It's a weird position, but
work harder, man.
Bro,
work harder, fam.
You can say it all day to these kind of people, and they won't. They will not, because they're just complacent. They don't want to get a quote unquote proper job because it's too much hard work. They're happy earning their £250 a week from DJing, and that does them nice. And they just do the same.
Is it an easy way out now for man that don't want to get a proper
conventional job?
But in quotations. Is this just an easy way for man to be like, it's an easy way out for them, innit? Because now it's so easy to be a DJ.
So.
I see bare man that have normal jobs and then out of nowhere they're a DJ.
I think so.
Or these reality people, they do all that. They come out, realise they're absolutely dead. They're not going to make no peace.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm a DJ.
Or Instagram.
Like, it's kind of like
models.
An easy.
Oh, she's a DJ now. Yeah. That kind of stuff. Like.
Yeah,
it's definitely lost. Like, what do you think is the most important factor to being a DJ? Because personally, for me, I think you have to love music as, like, above
knowledge above, and love for music is the core base of it. Without
above
that,
all
what
else,
are you?
Like, the main thing for DJing has to be, I love this music, I want to play it. Like, but that's part of the problem. Is it's like people see Instagram, oh, I want to be popular, or I want to be famous, or I don't really want to go out and get a 9 to 5.
Yeah, so. that's another one. People like the look of it, innit? People think they like, oh, everyone's gonna love me. I'm gonna be out there. I'm gonna be active, like, and not even doing it for the music. They think it's a lifestyle that is, bro. In reality, it's not even that half the time. So
yeah, it's mad. It is crazy. I'll have a think about some solutions to the problems, and obviously we can start chopping them up on the podcast. All right, this has been a long intro, isn't it?
Yeah, that's the longest intro. We kind of done what I do with my warm up sets, bruv. We've started, and then before you know it, 55 minutes.
Yeah. So what we're going to talk about today? What's the main topic of conversation?
I don't know. I know, so, mate. If we was to go into the main topic now, we'd be here in another 2 hours. Because I feel like the next one is going to go that way.
The next one, listen. The next one is definitely going to go that direction, bruv. It is going to be a big one. Someone mentioned about, who was it? DJ Link. Shouts to DJ Link. Let me bring up his tweet. Let's cover this one before we sign off, right? DJ Link.
Man, I got it. DJ Names.
Shit, what's this?
I've got it here, bro. Don't want to read it. I've got my computer open. So anyway, we put a tweet out this morning asking, well, Double did. Clarting today, but what to discuss?
Why not?
this guy's not well. So anyway, DJ Link wanted us to talk about DJ names. Is it becoming a fad to give yourself a DJ name? Am I not a DJ because we're not using our real names? Will I never get booked for Elro because my name is not Manuel Pellegrino? Or something deluded like ants or fish or stuck in a box.
I feel, you know what? I feel like that is definitely...
that is banter.
That's a quality one. But I feel DJ names are important to begin with. And what what people neglect, what I neglected, and not even neglected, I just had no idea when I started. It's the name of your brand. Like, this is the name of your company. This is the name that is going... If you're successful, this is the name you're still going to be using in 10 years' time. This is the name that, when you get artist drops, this is the name that your favorite artists are going to be shouting out in the drops. This is the name that the club owners will refer to you by. Do you know what I mean? So, like, it's actually quite an important thing. But it's like Link says, like, I don't feel like me as DJ Double... would necessarily be accepted in the house world because,
I was just about to say, is it a genre thing?
Yeah, because definitely. I feel like...
In house, it's cool to... I have the deadest normal name, yeah? So I was thinking the other week about rebranding, whatever else. How can I, like, upgrade myself to, like, go into, like, this next phase of my DJ career? And I was like, well, I can't call myself by my government name because that's just Macca. But in the house scene, it might run. I don't know why that is.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it? It does feel genre bound. But I just wonder, like, I wonder if anyone outside the DJ world cares.
Like, I don't think so.
I've never heard anyone, like, I just call them civilians, right? You know what I'm saying? I've never heard a civilian say, oh, DJ such and such, that's such a shit name. Like, I don't think I've ever heard that. It's just like, it's just whatever.
I've definitely heard that before.
Let's burn some people. What's the worst DJ name you've ever heard?
Oh, no, man. Don't do this, bro.
All right, I'll go first. I remember...
the worst DJ name?
Yeah, let's see.
I wouldn't even...
Let's see if he's still exists.
I'm going to have to dig.
I just Googled him. I don't think he exists anymore. But I remember someone being called DJ Asian Gangster.
What?
DJ Asian Gangster. That's the DJ name.
That's the madness.
Yeah, terrible. Absolutely terrible name. And you know what the worst thing was? I think I came across them when I was working on radio. I think they were trying to get a radio show.
Okay.
Think about that. Imagine that. And imagine that on One Extra, they're trying to announce the next DJ. Don't forget, Saturday nights, 9 p.m, DJ Asian Gangster in the building.
Oh, my. I think it's a branding thing, yeah? See that what he just said about ants and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Like, they stick more. It's more of like a... I don't know, it has more power as a brand, innit? Like a company name.
Yeah.
Like, I can't explain it, but I don't think it... Like, I've had stylists since forever, and like everybody all across the country knows me as stylist. I don't know if people say that's a shit name behind the scenes, but they've definitely not said that to me.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe in different genres. Like, in the house scene, like, people are called some mad stuff. I'm just looking online now, bro. I literally just typed in Google worst DJ names of all time.
Go on.
And guess what comes up first?
DJ Double, probably.
Nah, DJ Twat.
DJ Twat.
For, there was a... stands for, there was a time.
Amazing.
That can't be real, bro.
It probably
That's
is.
That's on Vice, though.
Probably is.
So there's a top 10 of worst DJ names, man. Do you want me to run through some?
Yeah, go on. Check a couple out. We can't rinse someone else's whole entire list. I think that's against
the rules. Exactly. Yeah. That's peak. But off the top of my head, I can't think of any mad ones, man. I'm not going to lie. And if I do, I don't want to bury anyone. But there's some weird ones here, mate.
DJ Fanny. DJ Fanny.
Weird.
There's one I just saw. Yeah. What? Oh my word, they could not have called this. I have to say this one. This has just come up and I've just Googled it. DJ Inflatable Führer.
Yeah, that one's on this list as number two. What?
Inflatable Führer. Oh my word. Terrible. But yes. So back to the point with DJ names, like, it's definitely. As a DJ starting out, you need to think about your DJ name because it's going to be your branding.
It could end up like Double.
Yeah, bruv, Double's a shit DJ name. I'm not going to lie. The way I...
Nah, I don't think it is.
Nah, it sounds cool. DJ Double.
It doesn't have the big meaning behind it. Now I know the story, but I think it sounds cool.
That's the thing. It sounds cool.
It works.
One thing that does work... here's another thing to consider. If you're going to get dub plates from artists, because, like... If your DJ name, I'm proper freestyling here, but if your DJ name's gonna be DJ Alphabet Killer Man, like how can an artist put your name into a song? That's something to consider in this culture, you know, because DJ Double, it's just four syllables. You can fit it to literally any song, bruv. And some of the dub plates I have are sick because. My name fits
true.
With the
that's
rhythm.
True. That's true.
Do you know what I mean?
I never thought of it like that. I think Stylus has the same ring.
Yeah.
The dubs don't sound out of place when I get the name drops.
Not at all. But like, I think, yeah, if you've got a proper long-winded DJ name or something more complicated to say, like, obviously this doesn't count for house music or other dance genres because they don't really deal with dub plates and stuff. But that's just one thing that I did think, like, oh, sick. Dub plates sound good with my name in it. Like, that's a good thing. But, yeah, Double, aesthetically, bruv, is a nightmare. You can't do anything with a logo. Like, it's shit to write. People think it's Dub L or Double. Like, it's a shit name. And for that, it's bad branding, in my opinion. I've just managed to...
Have you not thought about a rebrand, my G?
Too far gone, mate.
Was it too late now? It's too late. We had this conversation off air, innit?
Yeah, I'm too far gone, bruv. I've got all of my DJ drops for DJ Double. I've got, YouTube channel. And in terms of...
We're too far gone.
Every industry contact I have knows me as Double. I'll pick up the phone and call someone. Yo, it's Double. Do you know what I mean? So, like, if I suddenly be like...
No, you're right.
Yeah, it's Antonio Marquez... Like, because of
that's what I'm
going
to change.
DJ,
I'm going to change mine to that, bruv.
Antonio Marquez. Oh yeah.
Yeah, my name's Anthony, innit? I'm not going to say my second name, but
Marquez.
Antonio Stylisticus.
Yeah. So I think it's important to actually think about your DJ name, but also to make sure that no one else has got your DJ name. Because you know, my first DJ name was DJ L. I'm super creative, bro. My first name's Lewis. And
don't lie.
Yeah, my first name's Lewis.
My man called himself DJ L.
Yep, and I wanted the L, and it was DJ L. Look. But do you remember the Lethal Weapon vinyls that used to have the intros and stuff?
Yes, yes, yes.
They were, I'm pretty sure it was them. They were produced by an American DJ that was called DJ L. So I knew...
Mad.
If I want this to get somewhere, if I want to... give it some legs on my career, I can't be DJ L because there's already a DJ L. And then obviously that full circle comes back around to one day I was driving at the fire station in my old town and I just thought, Double, but with an L. I can keep the L for my name, I don't know why it was double. I don't know why that word.
Oh, but, yeah. Man changed it from taking one loss to a double loss.
Yeah, in it, two L's.
No, I'm sorry, but that has creased me, bro.
There you go.
Oh, my God. Could be worse. Could be called DJ Shit, Matt.
Yeah, or DJ Asian Gangster. Or DJ Inflatable Fury. I can't believe someone's called Inflatable Fury.
Yo, I'm crying, bro. Oh. Stop it.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake. Oh, my God. Maximum Bellend.
Did you say Maximum Bellend? Is that what you just said? What are you doing over there? I just see you creasing to yourself, Bob.
Oh, no. Oh, no. I'm looking on Mixed Mag Food Tunes, like, about worst DJs in dance music. I am creasing, fam.
Maximum Bellend.
Oh, my days. Right, all right, I'm going to stop. All right, I'm stopping. I'm not well right now. This song guy's called DJ School Vomit.
Yeah, you're not well.
Oh no, I'm crying. Right, anyway, that's a wrap.
Yeah, I think that just about finishes today's intro.
So yeah, DJ names, they're important, man. Oh my God.
I tell you what, I've no idea what we can call this podcast. We've covered everything.
I have no... Oh my God, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So it's just going to drop. It's just going to be called Episode 63.
That was the biggest freestyle ever. The intro ended up being 80 minutes long, mate.
All I wanted to do was tell a story.
Oh, God.
And then it's...
For God's sake.
And that's it. Hashtag
oh, God.
TalkOverPodClart. You know the deal.
Yes, sir.
Follow us on Twitter,
you know what to do.
At TalkOverPod. Let us know what you think about today's very scatty, very unorganised, absolutely... nothing.
Nah, these are the best ones, man. These are the best ones, G. I prefer it when it's like this. When I have to think too much, I don't get my words out.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I like it when we just roll with it, man. They're the best ones.
So yeah, get involved. Still. And don't forget, if you have a friend that's DJing or wants to be a DJ or even just has a pair of ears and can hear stuff, send them this podcast. Let them know about it. Get them involved.
Yeah. Spread the word, man.
The podcast.
Tell a friend to tell their mum.
Yeah.
About the talkover.
You get me.
Alright. Alright, G.
Yeah. Double and stylus.
Until next
and
time.
We're out.
Save.
Clart.